right, welcome everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer and a host for the show where we talk about things about and with technology. We talk about computers, hardware, software, sciences, physics, space travel, time travel, all that kind of stuff. So you can hit me with any of your questions or comments throughout the show. Show is sort of like a little bit of the history. We've been doing this quite a while, and it started with a lot of you in this audience. Some of you probably still around, didn't know a whole lot about how these things worked. And even though you might have been casual users, you really weren't using it as a tool. And so when we started talking about the things these can do, we started to get you in territories where you started getting some confidence to start exploring on your own and figuring stuff out on your own. It was just it was a great sort of like interface with a market that otherwise would swear off all of this. I mean, everybody wanted to do things on paper and calendars on your office wall. And I was trying to convince you to use this little digital thing that I knew everybody was going to be carrying around. And we've been doing it forever. So if you have any questions, 330-729-9977. Also, you can text me all program long, 333-1570. Keep that number handy, and you can interface with all of the hosts here at 570 WKBN. And it's a lot easier, I find, that when I'm out on the road and I'm listening. Sometimes I can't call, but I can, you know, throw some snide remarks or questions or whatever via text message. And that's really easy, real nice and passive to interface with all of the programming here. Keep it in your contacts list. That's the best way to do it. And that way, when you're thinking of something, maybe I provoke you into a response or an explanation, you can just throw a short one at me and I'll read it on the program during the show. Those of you who didn't see, yesterday we had a SpaceX launch. And this was actually had some people on it. So most of the SpaceX launches we talk about are, you know, hitting satellites out into low Earth orbit or their test flights that don't go too well. But this is a proven, basically Falcon 9 rocket. And then they have the little hatch where the, you know, those who are going to the International Space Station are tucked away. Four astronauts got delivered to the International Space Station. And then they will also be making a return trip, I believe, here in the next couple months. So got to see that. I didn't get to see the docking, so you can always go to spacex.com, and they have replays of the launches. But they're so impressive. This one happened, I wake up at 5:30, so I'm getting out of bed, making my coffee, and by the time I sit down at my desk at 5:45, I get a notification that the SpaceX launch is happening in 1 minute and 30 seconds. I fire it up, and I get to see it. Happened out of Kennedy Space Center in Florida. And it's a beautiful thing just watching those things happen. I am enamored with space travel. My wife and I have regular conversations about, like, I pitched this hypothetical. I said, okay, I go to the mailbox and I open a letter and it says, congratulations, Joe Danier, you have been accepted to go to Mars. What should I say? And of course she says, either no or we're all going. So if we get a chance to go to Mars or the moon, my whole family has to go so that we can be together. But that's my pass, right? I get to go to Mars or the moon as long as I am willing to sacrifice the rest of my family for the trip as well. 330-729-9977. Let's go to Cindy. Cindy, you're on the Youngstown Computer Show. How can I help you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call today. Sure. And I hate to sound so stupid because I think this question is probably stupid.
No, but it's not stupid. I assure you, even before you said it, it's not a stupid question. I assure you.
Okay, so I got a new HP computer with 10S on it and Edge. And they tell me as long as I use Edge and I have this 10S system that I don't need any other protection systems like to keep people from giving me viruses because I am protected. Is that true?
Well, it's not 100%, but it is really restrictive. So S is basically a lockdown version of the operating system that it won't allow you to load applications. You have to get them from their app library, and you're going to use the Edge browser. So it's really hard to get it infected because of how restricted it is. And if that's not a problem, we had a caller last week actually call and say, I got this S and it's unusable. And it was actually Dan Rivers, and he converted his S to a traditional Windows 10 home version, and it works for him better. But if you don't mind it and you can use Edge, I would absolutely stick with it because it's more locked down.
Okay, so I don't need to buy another... I don't need to buy something else to protect my computer from getting viruses then, you don't think? Or
it's really
I don't have anything else on my system to protect me.
Yeah, I would,
you know,
I'm almost certain that you're in the 90% protected just because of how restricted. If it makes you feel better, you can buy some virus protection from Microsoft, because I still think through their app store you can get some add-ons there. But I wouldn't. I mean, I just don't think that it's very likely that you're going to get infected with something. Maybe if you install something, it's more of a sort of like a phishing or a, you know, protecting you a little bit from doing something. Maybe that's worthwhile, but I don't think viruses are a threat.
Okay. Thank you so kindly, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you, Cindy, for being out there. And definitely not a stupid question, because that I'm sure there's somebody out there that didn't even know that there was an S version of the operating system. But that is what it is. It's a really slimmed-down version of Windows that a lot of the customizations aren't there. A lot of the additions aren't even possible. And it's meant to be a more solid, robust security preventative system. And again, antivirus is this, right? Antivirus is this. It's meant to be sort of a buffer between your actions and an exploit somewhere on the internet. So when you look at the top 10 ways that people are being exploited, viruses really aren't as big of a problem as they once were. The biggest problem is tricking you into giving up your information. So if you're on your Windows 10S and you go to a website, Amazon.com, and you give them your credit card, you give them your billing address, you give them information about you. There's somebody out there that has made an Amazon.com webpage that looks a lot like it, that's intended to trick you into giving that same information to them. So maybe you follow a link through your email, takes you to a spoof site, and you give up your information. Well, Windows 10S is not going to prevent that from happening. But maybe some security software that you added on there does protect you from going to a spoof site anyway. So maybe a browser add-on or something like that. So I wanted to kind of like put an asterisk next to that, that the top list of things that you are likely to get hit with, malware, viruses, they don't really much apply, because a lot of those things you can't even install. It doesn't allow you. You can't run an executable to install a program. It says that you can't do it, and you have to buy things from the app store. So thank you for that call. I appreciate it. Now you guys know a little bit about what the strategy is with having a slim down. Some of you, it wouldn't be a good option, but maybe if you're just doing some browsing, maybe it is a perfect option. So 330-729-9977 or 333-1570. You can text me. Before that call, I was talking about SpaceX and delivering astronauts to space. So just as a little bit of a briefing, what we're probably in for over the next several years is we're going to be staging a lot of our technology on the moon first, and then after the moon becomes some stuff we're going to do on Mars. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, we're going to plow private investment money into something that you really don't even know what the financial returns are going to be on this. Like, what is if Elon Musk gets to Mars and plants a civilization, like what's the reward from a revenue standpoint? I mean, I can see that SpaceX, you're launching rockets for private companies, and then you've got cash flow that comes in that funds all the other stuff. But I mean, is it going to be asteroid mining where we're now, you know, roaming space and going vast distances, and we can catch up with asteroids that have, things that we can harvest and bring back down to the Earth, and that's where your revenue is going to come from? But if you're just establishing a colony on another planet, like, is it going to be a private colony where people are going to pay taxes to Elon Musk, and that's how it's going to fund? I'm a little unclear. I understand that's what we're going to do, but I'm a little unclear about, you know, once we kind of get there, what the rest of the business plan means. Or maybe that's the end. Maybe that's, I'm hoping that, you know, somebody picks up once I have a habitable place on Mars, then somebody else takes the reins and they figure out what to do next. That could be the case as well. 330-729-9977. So the next phase of the space travel is going to be going to the moon. And the most expensive part of space travel up to this point is escaping the atmosphere of the Earth. It's thick, and it's meant to keep things here on the ground. And so we used to burn all this fuel to get our stuff off of the planet. So much of the expense is getting the stuff off of this planet to take it out into space. So Elon Musk is trying to find out better, more efficient ways of doing this, where maybe staging some of the liftoffs off of the moon and then all we have to do is use a transportation system between here and the moon in order, you know, for to get stuff up there, and then we blast off from there. So maybe you have a much smaller rocket that takes from here to the moon, fueling and feeding a rocket that's bigger. So the picture this. So a Falcon 9 launches with a bunch of satellites, right? So it goes and delivers the satellites, and then once it's satellites, then it moves on and then delivers a little bit of a payload onto the moon, right? And and since they launched so many of these, that you could see the go in tandem or sort of that be the first round or the first level of distribution and then the second level of distribution. So that it should get interesting. I don't want to put too much time into that, but that's just something on the horizon. Grandparents and parents ask me constantly, what should I advise my kid to take in college? What are the next industries that are on the horizon? And we talk about, you know, energy and energy production, energy storage. We talk about Bitcoin and finance with digital currency or digital transportation, digital value transportation, space exploration, and some physics and sciences that work off of this planet. One of those things, like there was an experiment on Mars that was called MOXIE. And it's this little robotic thing that its whole sole obligation was to convert carbon dioxide that it collects from the atmosphere on Mars and see if it can create breathable oxygen. So this little thing collected a bunch of carbon dioxide or the atmosphere of Mars and see if it could produce this oxygen, and it was successful. So if you wanted to prove the concept that we were capable, and another thing, the fuel that we're going to need, like we're not going to be able to bring the fuel to Mars that's going to get us home again. So we have to create fuel once we're there. And part of the fuel that we're going to need to create is oxygen, and it's pretty deprived of oxygen there on the surface. So we have to bring the technologies to take what is there and convert it so that it keeps us alive and gives us the tools necessary to, you know, further the exploration. Because we don't want to send people there as a death sentence where they're going there to prove that we can get people there, and then they're stuck there forever, or you know they die on, you know, within a short order after receiving there. We want to colonize. So 330-729-9977. As far as this is the time of year, you know, we get into the typically, and this is not a typical year, but typically we come out of December, January, February, March as being the capital improvements when people have purchased equipment and servers and stuff like that. So we start planning for the next equipment cycle right now, going into the close of, you know, 2021. And right now is when we're experiencing a little bit of a chip shortage. Don't know where it came from, where if it's just a emerging technologies just, you know, picked off everything that was out in the market, or because of the stuff that happened in the canal, just delayed everything, or that, you know, new chips are coming out and it's just part of the production cycle. I really don't know why. I just know that there are. So we basically bought ahead, and we bought a bunch of motherboards and a bunch of CPUs, anything that carries a microchip on it that I think might have been, we had to prepare ourselves for a shortage to happen. So, you know, I think we've got, Nick said we had like 18 computers on our books, and we're going to be putting out maybe two or three a week. So we've got enough supply probably for the next month, and then we're hoping that it kind of breaks free and starts becoming available again. But you don't know going into all the other cycles. I mean, you've got Tesla that are making these cars that they're going to have to shut down some lines here if they can't get enough chips to put in them. Same with thing with battery packs. See, that was one thing that I had a good conversation with a parent who was asking, do you think batteries, because we have, you know, the LG plant here locally, is it going to come into play into sort of the future? I mean, are we going to be able to retain some students here in the engineering side, or is it just going to be manufacturing and you're just going to have labor here? And I'm saying that I think the LG plant is just the absolute start. I think there's going to be so much demand for battery production. I don't think we're going to have the luxury of having too many battery plants. I think we're going to be clamoring for the raw materials to make enough batteries to keep up with those cycles. That's just my guess. So I think that's a really good industry to get into, because that's what is happening. Not only is going to happen, but it is for sure going to happen. We are at a huge, the two things that I know for sure. we don't have enough energy production, so we have to master energy production, and we don't have energy storage. And there's some major companies that are putting lots of money into storing energy. After the Texas power crisis, you saw Apple and a couple other companies build big battery farms so that if their production doesn't keep up, they can fuel the demand for certain infrastructure on huge battery capacity. Now that we have it, that's how we're using it. So maybe we're not good at keeping 24-hour energy production, but we can create enough, store enough, and then once it's used, then fire up the production side. And I think that lends itself to more alternative energy. So if our consumption's coming off of stored energy, then we can maybe produce it at a lower clip if we have really good methods of storage, right? Because then we're not wasting the efficiencies by having either overproducing or underproducing, but having to constantly supply. Let the power production go offline for a little bit if our capacity in the storage side is doing well, or we have enough of it. So that's where I see things heading in the future. 330-729-9977. You can also text me at 333-1570. I will check those text messages when we come back. You are listening to the Youngstown Computer Show here on 570 WKBN. I'll be back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer, and this is your Saturday show. We talk about things that are happening in tech, offer some advice, give you some guidance, talk about the language, kind of get you interested. And I doubt at this point that anybody isn't part of the influence of this technology where everybody at least has a cell phone. I kind of was at a soccer game and I was watching to see all the parents, old and young, and everybody's got it in their right hand and looking at it all the time, and it's become such a part of everybody's life. I don't know what you're doing on it. You could be playing solitaire for all I know, but at least we've got these electronics everywhere we go. Software developers and hardware developers keep upping the ante on what these things are capable of doing, how they assist us, how the software helps us, you know, remember things. I was just talking to someone the other day about triptychs versus GPS, and you know, I didn't know where to go to get somewhere, right? And I wanted to see if I can navigate my way and find it without using the GPS. And it is a little bit of a challenge. You kind of lose the skill to be able to just find things and figure out where they are, rather than your GPS takes you the quickest way possible. I have a special GPS for Gus the bus, the RV, and it specifically deals me roads that are productive for RV travel. So no low overhangs and really mucked up roads and, you know, skinny roads and single bridges and stuff like that. It tries to avoid that. But the GPS that was doing that was actually doing some time-lapse video. And so I had to take just Google, ended up taking me off of this back roads thing. I'm flying down in an RV on roads that are barely supporting probably a, you know, horse and buggy. It was terrible. So I do now. I don't take that GPS for granted. Let's take some phone calls. 330-729-9977. Let's go to Bill. Bill, you're on the Youngstown Computer Show. How can I help you?
Hey, happy Saturday, Joe. Wanted to weigh in. You were talking about the careers.
Yeah.
I'm a data center engineer for a telecommunications company. I do a lot of work with all the infrastructure. And the one area, believe it or not, that they're really hurting really bad for is people who do HVAC and power, your heating and ventilation for all these data centers and stuff. They can't hire enough people to come in and make the repairs, because you know as well as I do, we got to keep those computers cool and the network devices and all that stuff cooled down. And I was very surprised to find out that they have a massive shortage, and those are really good paying jobs. And you can get a certification in HVAC in a few weeks at like local trade schools and stuff. And that's when people ask you a career thing, I'm like, that's one of the things I would tell them to do. You know, doing STEM, you know, going to school and technology, yeah, that's just important, but we still have to have people that turn the wrenches for things like HVAC and power and installing all those massive battery plants and stuff. There's a huge need for that, and all of them are very good paying jobs.
Excellent. Bill, thank you for checking in. I appreciate that. We will add that to the absolute list. Thank you so much. Uh-huh. All right, take care. And I've seen sort of some setups, and it's a specialty on its own because people who know HVAC, maybe not just traditional HVAC, might not be familiar with how much heat electronics give up when you have sort of like big servers and like dense electronics. And so I've seen a couple of, you know, computer closets, they're not done by someone who understands how it goes. And, you know, somebody puts like a mini split in a little bit of a closet and keeps it at 60 degrees without proper ventilation, where you're bringing cool in there, but it needs to be properly vented. Bill, thank you for that call. I appreciate it. And that's definitely something whereas we have to accommodate more and more. All the traditional talents of from the mechanical side are definitely going to be needed in the future. I just had a conversation about internal versus where things are going to go for the cloud. And when we go to the cloud, it's literally just your stuff is riding around on computer systems that are, grouped together. So they might be in a warehouse somewhere, but there are hundreds and thousands of computers that are hosting these little environments that everybody's using when they're pushing it out to the cloud. And all of that stuff is growing by exponential values now. So Bill's absolutely right. That's definitely something to keep in mind if you're advocating some kind of schooling, some type of education in the future. You're listening to the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer and host of this program, helping you with your technical questions or just sometimes fun to listen what's going on and the verbiage and what we talk about and, kind of getting used to it. 330-729-9977. Text me at 333-1570. Thanks for all the questions. I have a couple of things that I'm going to bring up, here in a minute. But let me tell you about Youngstown Computer. We make it possible. The company, not the program, Youngstown Computer makes it possible for this show. We would appreciate it if you have any computer needs, and it doesn't really matter what those needs are. It could be repairs. It could be buying new equipment. It could be just sitting down and getting, some training or some know-how planted in your brain. We can do all of that. Just call 330-259-7278. Rich is actually the manager, the operator on that side, the residential services. He will be more than happy to take care of all of your requests. And then Nick is managing authority over on the commercial services side. So if you have a business, you call the commercial side. If you have the it's just your individual, then that'll be the residential side. And I think you hit number one and it's the business. When you call in, hit number one, it's business. Hit number two and that's residential. But anyway, repairs, upgrades, new equipment, pretty much do it all. I told you last week that we bought a crap ton solid state hard drives for upgrades. I didn't check to see if any of you take advantage of that, but I know that we got a ton of equipment requests coming in. So I don't necessarily think we're going to have so much of a surplus of those drives as I thought I did because of the extra orders. I appreciate everyone who called last week and took advantage of that, but now we have some workload ahead of us and we're probably going to end up consuming most of those extra ones. I'll buy another order. I think we had like $30,000 plus worth of hardware orders go out in the last couple of weeks. So going to catch up with those things before we take on any more. But services, we can always provide those data copies, backups, strategies on viruses and protection, malware protections. All of that stuff's at your disposal with Youngstown Computer. And even if you don't need anything right now, write our number down. And when something arrives, you look at a sticky note on the side of your computer. It says, call Youngstown Computer if you're ever in a pinch. And then our number, 330-259-7278. And we'll get you taken care of. I'm thankful that there isn't as many repairs as there used to be. It used to kind of turn my stomach as often as people would get their computers infected. I mean, there are people a couple times a year had to spend a couple $100 to get their computer usable again. And that was too much wasted money. I hated those people. It was good for us because of the services we were able to do, but I hated it for consumers because so much of their technology budgets were being spent on, stupid stuff like those infections. So thankfully, Microsoft get handed a little bit of a W back to consumers and made it a little bit more difficult, or at the very least a little less pricey to clean up these machines after either a potential infection or an exploit or something like that. So I really do have to give credit. I know a lot of you argue with me that Microsoft isn't any better than once was, but I disagree. And it's from what ends up on our bench as comparison to what it used to end up on our bench. I think they've done a considerably better job at making these things either more stable or more secure or both. But it's appreciated because I even though it was good for revenue, it was terrible for how, you know, I wanted people to approach Youngstown Computer because they wanted to do big stuff, right? And then they started approaching us like we are their dentists. They didn't really want to be here. They were spending money they didn't want to spend, and it's not going to make them any better. But what else were their alternatives? So 330-259-7278 is the number. Write it on the side of your computer. Call Rich when you need something. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, and another announcement. We are in years past. You know that we take care of our city of Struthers. It's hosted our company, Youngstown Computer, for many years. I think we moved in that. We were downtown Struthers from 2005 to 2009, and then we moved on Youngstown Pauline Road from 2009 to present day, and we've been there ever since. But we used to set up a movie night in Struthers, and we just took all of our technology. We took our music, our big TV projection system, and with the screen and the projector, we had some fun, played some music, and played a movie. And we stopped doing it for we did it maybe a couple years, and then we stopped doing it. But just recently, we had a great conversation with Mayor Kat, and she was interested in doing it. Now we're setting up another date. So if you live over in Struthers and want to participate and support the city of Struthers, that's something that you can add to your calendar for sometime in June. We're going to be starting those movies. And that's also other cities who want to do that. Once we get, the cobwebs knocked off of that service, let us know if you want us to host, or you want to host our services in your city. Give us a nice, lawn to set up on, some electricity, and we'll set up a movie in your where your communities, bring all your people out and enjoy the weather once it gets nice. And that's something you can absolutely do and keep social distanced and keep away from other people because it's outdoors. It's anyway, so 330-259-7278. That's Youngstown Computer's number. If you want to get in touch with us to have something set up, feel free. We'd appreciate it. We got a lot of cool stuff that we're doing around the community. It's a never-ending thing with our enterprises, and it's because you guys are awesome. Every time we ask you to come through, you always do, and it's because of you that we're able to pull off all these cool things. All right, back to some of the computer stuff. I want to talk about when, let's just say, we get over the hump of the microchips become available, and then it's a new equipment cycle. Like, what's next? What's coming up, on the horizon for computer innovations? And this is, in January, February is where we kind of look ahead and say, okay, what's on the horizon? What's going to start appealing to, purchases? This is like a weird year where I couldn't even tell you a single innovation that is happening with the actual hardware or software. And I don't know if I'm so removed right now this year because I'm, doing all the other stuff that I am, or literally that these cycles have either slowed down or come to a crawl. So if you know of something out there that's happening that that we should call attention to, that would be great. Call me up on the studio line, 330-729-9977, or text me at 333-1570. But otherwise, that's kind of cool that we've pinnacled at least for this year, and I'm thankful that I don't have to go buy any new electronics. I can, make use of what I have because my phone has been great. I mean, I will complain. Every year is a crazy, crazy cycle to keep up with. And I was every year, every other year, getting a whole new phone. And that was crazy. When you really look to see how much these things cost, you're spending $1,000 every year, every 2 years to have the newest cell phone in your hand. That's nuts. And so I'll let some of these things age a little bit before I decide to buy the newest, latest, and greatest, because that's, I don't know, when you really look at it, they made it easy. Like, all the companies would take the original cost and divide it into your phone bill over, the course of the year. But even in the end, that's still so much money being put into it. And I know you carry it around every single day. So if you divided it by how many uses you get out of it, I mean, we're talking pennies. So you should have the best, latest, and greatest if your whole world is connected through it, through communication. But I got a question to you. I got a 11-year-old, right? And he does not have a cell phone. But I see some of his peers at that age having a full-blown cell phone. So you as parents, text me and let me know, at what age did you start allowing your kids to carry a cell phone in any capacity other than emergency? So like if you put it in their hand once or twice when you're at the Canfield Fair or whatever, that's not the same. When you regularly carry a cell phone, a $1,000 phone or a $500 phone, I'm interested to see at what age you started that, and what phone? Did you get a used phone that, you know, maybe you spent and it was your old one, or did you get them a specific one? I want to know those two data points, not just for my sake, but, you know, other parents, you know, there. I don't know if it's obvious whether it's you give the phone for a real reason or it's just that you see everybody else doing it so that you do it, but I don't know. So send me your text message and let me know at what point, at what age, and what level of phone did you put in your kid's hands you know, first. Because I I'm seeing 9 and 10-year-olds carrying a $1,000 phone around, and I just think that's a little odd. I don't think there's a single thing that I was able to carry around when I was that age that I didn't destroy in maybe 30 hours or so. Even the fact, like, my son got a chain for, like, a cross, a gold cross and chain for his birthday. And I was remembering, like, when was I responsible enough to not have the thing yanked off of my neck while I was playing football and lose it? And I'm thinking, okay, I was probably about 17 before I was responsible enough. And sure enough, the dude kept it on his neck and he hasn't lost it and nobody's stolen it and it didn't get pulled. I'm like, man, this age group is so more responsible than I was at when I was that age. So anyway, 330-729-9977. Let me read a couple of questions. And this was from previous shows. This is not from today. So if you want to text me, I am all caught up on today's. Okay. Let's do a problem with a keyboard. And so this is someone who had originally spilled something into their keyboard. And I'm not sure, they don't say if it's from a laptop or just a regular one. But so let me give you both hypotheticals. So what you should do when you spill something in a keyboard. So inside that sucker, if we're talking about just a regular keyboard, is like a rubber. You'll find a rubber version of the keyboard underneath those keys. And under each one of those keys is a micro switch. So when you push down, you're actually pushing on this rubber sleeve, and then there's a sort of like a plunger on the backside of the key that pushes the micro switch that tells the keyboard that you pushed it, right? And that gets sent down into the board and it's translated into the characters that you push. And the look and the feel of the key is usually guided by that little rubber plunger that's on the other side of that. And that is your keyboard. So if you spill something down in there, they're made so that the water has a harder time getting inside the plunger than outside the plunger. So if you just spill it in there, you know, if you just turn the sucker upside down and don't turn it the other way, you can sometimes get the water out. But then the water collects on the bottom side of the keys, and when you turn it the other way, then it gets down inside where the micro switch, and then the micro switch shorts out. If you get enough of it in there and you flood it out, chances are the water gets down into the micro switch. Now, here's what the problem is. The water doesn't necessarily cause the damage. The stuff that's in the water usually does the damage. We did a demonstration years ago where we took a liquid that had no contaminants. Mineral oil is, I believe, what we used, and we basically flooded out a piece of equipment with mineral oil. And then we just ran the equipment, right? And it just runs because there's nothing to actually carry any kind of current and short out any of the devices. But after water dissolves, and, you know, let's just say you did get everything to evaporate. But if you get it to evaporate, it leaves behind the contaminants that are in the water, and then you still get a shorting. So that's why, you know, rice and putting it next to a dehumidifier doesn't always work. I mean, sometimes it does. I've taken keyboards and put it in my trunk and let 90-degree heat evaporate everything out, and sometimes that works, but a lot of times it doesn't. So Keyboards cost $25. I would not go through anything except for once you spill it, wrapping it up, throwing it in the garbage, and buying a new one. Now, laptops are a little bit more difficult because you have what I just described in a traditional keyboard, and all of those internal components are actually riding on a little metal tray, and right below them are even more electronics, even more expensive than those. You do not want the water to leak from the keyboard down into the lower tray and then drip on your motherboard and your CPU, because then once that's toast, you've got, you know, bigger, more expensive problems. So we've gotten it. Now, if your biggest thing is that you spilled water on the keyboard and the keyboard shorted out, but everything is okay, you're probably in for about $100 and some replacement fee. Sometimes the keyboards are, $35, sometimes they're $65, and then there's every bit of 2 hours worth of tear down replacement and then putting it back together. And so that is, that's most of your, you know, it's a small device that requires tiny tools and somebody with patience and know how to assemble, disassemble. That's where most of your cost is going to be. So what should you do? Nobody's going to do this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Get one of those little rubber keyboard covers, and if you spill something on it, that's number one. Or two, don't drink anything around your keyboard or your laptops. That's number two. Neither of those things you're going to do. If you do it, and you know, if you have a laptop and you're at home, that's when this is likely going to happen. Get a regular keyboard and plug that into your laptop. Don't use the one that's over your CPU. And that way, if you spill something on that keyboard, then you're $25 out rather than the rest of that. So that is, you know, third plan. So first plan is don't eat or drink. Second plan is get a rubber cover for it so that if anything spills, it just washes right off. Third is get a traditional $25 USB keyboard, plug it in, and if it spills in, it's just replaceable. And then fourth would be to just do a repair, and hopefully none of that water gets down in that. The most disgusting repairs are soda and beer. Both of those, after you clean them, it's sticky and it's yucky. I had this one time, and this was my undoing. A kid spilled liquid on their laptop, and the liquid was beer, and they were underage, and they didn't want to tell their parents what they actually spilled, so they said it was water. And so when it got handed over to me, it came with waters in there, and when I discovered it, it was not water that was in there. It was a completely different. So the quandary is that, you know, now what, are you going to out the kid for lying to dad, and you're going to be the bad guy? Didn't like that scenario, but yeah, I did tell them that it was vodka and orange juice that was in there and not just plain water, and it was a mess, big time mess. They do make, I never say this word right, but I'm going to attempt it. Ready? Desiccants. That's it. So whatever. It's basically these little gels that you put in and it absorbs water. You can try those things, seal in a bag, put it by a humidifier, use rice, whatever, will take in the humidity, and because it is an enemy of electronics. But once you spill something, you're really beyond what desiccants, desiccants. I don't know that word. I'm sorry. Anyway, you're beyond that, and it's probably going to be just a little preparation. But it's a repair that I see more than you would think. So anyway, take care of those electronics and keep water away from them. How about that? Thankfully, all of our phones have gotten like waterproof or at least water resistant. So I mean, I could drop my phone in the toilet or whatever, and it probably would live, I bet. Anyway, you're listening to the Youngstock Computer Show, 330-729-9977. You can text me at 333-1570. We'll be right back. This is WKBN. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. This is Joe Danier. I am owner of Youngstown Computer and the host of this program, here to help you through, talk to you about any of your computer concerns or your planning. One of the, again, because we start talking about what's coming up in the future, we look at sort of like replacement cycles on things that are, have been in the field a while. And what triggers us is after something has kind of served 5 years of consistent use, it gets put on the sort of the watch list. And when it starts exhibiting anything that would require replacement, that's when we start keeping an eye on it and saying, okay, this is going to be get replaced. But we kind of calculate how much it costs us per year for a machine. And so I try to key in on about $200 a year for the terminal that I use most of the time. And so if it lasts 5 years, I know I can expense about $1,000 for a piece of equipment at $200 per year. And every year I get over that, then I can expense either a faster, bigger, whatever machine. And so traditionally, if I budget that amount of money for that machine and I get more life out of it and I buy ahead of the curve a little bit more, then I can get a better machine next time. And that's how I've kind of grown my personal machine over the course of the years. But everyone should pretty much be, willing to, sort of like figure out how much they'd be willing to spend on the phone that they carry around and the computer that they use, and make sure it's in line with the use that you're getting out of it. I think that $1,000 a year is way too much for my, even though I use that phone on a regular basis, I'd prefer $500 a year at maybe even $250 if I can get, there's no way I get it the last 4 years. I think the last one I had was an iPhone. Well, maybe I did. Maybe I got 3 years out of the last one. But that's a little bit more reasonable. I can't justify $1,000 a year on a phone. 330-729-9977 or text me at 333-1570. And I'm going to read another text message, adding a second hard disk drive. And this is a strategy that most of us have applied over the course of years. And here's the reason why, and here's what we're trying to accomplish when we're dealing with two internal hard drives on our machine. So the primary function, your C drive, your main hard drive, needs to be your fastest drive, okay? So if you've got a solid-state drive, if you can afford the fastest drive that's only, 500 gigs, I would totally go for speed over capacity any day. I really don't care if the primary drive only has enough space to, let's just say your installer, your installation of Windows and all of your programs is 100 gigs. And then so you buy a 200 gig drive, 250 gig drive, and just run your applications and your operating system off that. Then you can buy a little bit cheaper of a drive that maybe not as fast and make that your secondary drive on your machine. So let's just say you're looking to put something budget together. You can spend $60 or $50 and buy a 250 gig drive, and you could buy another $60 and buy a 2 terabyte SATA drive, a non-solid state drive. Now you have 2 terabytes worth of data storage for your movies and your music, and then you have 250 gigs for your operating system and your programs. All of the stuff when you open a program will open super fast because the drive is being sourced from your high-speed drive. And then when you're pulling a movie across, it doesn't really need to be fast. You just need to have bigger capacity. So the question is, having a second hard drive, I absolutely would have a second hard drive. And that way you have a larger capacity for storage, and you could put a little bit more effort and expense into your primary drive so it can run as fast as possible. So that's my that's my advice on sort of like the two hard drive strategy. All right, we'll come back. 330-729-9977. Text me at 333-1570. You're listening to the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer. And one thing I didn't forget to mention, we're going to be doing a bunch of makerspace workshops here starting in May. And that includes some technology topics as well. So if you're interested in learning some stuff. We are going to be your go-to place to learn about the stuff. And sort of like I'm a non-traditional learner, and I'm a non-traditional teacher. I'm such a hands-on, I need to be able to touch it. Learning in theory and in a book, okay, that's one thing, but I'm a doer. And so all of us doers who need to jump in and, you know, cool, teach me the theory on a hard drive, but let me put one in and see how it works. That's the kind of stuff that you're going to get with me. So I have that place right next to the Youngstown Computer offices. It's going to turn into the makerspace, which means we're going to be teaching things like laser engraving and 3D printing and silk screening and, just a bunch of really cool topics about making things. But we're also going to bring the guys next door who know how to do stuff, installing printers and listing stuff on eBay, digital photography, loading an operating system, doing your own data copy, doing all that kind of stuff lends itself really easily to a place where we, lay your stuff down. And you have an expert at the front of the room can walk you through something that you're about to embark on. So take advantage of that atmosphere that if you have a topic that you're super interested in learning about, float it to us. We'll put it out there. And if other people want to join you, we'll put a class together on it and we'll totally tackle stuff that you are interested in. What we're interested in, I know you kind of follow what we're doing, but I truly don't know what makes you tick. So if you throw something at me, I'll be like, okay, let's try it out. So 330-259-7278, leave on my voicemail on the residential side that you have interest in a topic. We'll add you to a list and we'll keep floating those ideas until we get 8 people to show up for it. And then boom, we've got a class and a workshop to work on. And big ones are Windows 10, learning about, the interface and how to get along and whatever. That's for our older group. It's sort of in line with what you can get at your library. We just take it to another level and we put our own group together. Building your own machine. That's my favorite because you buy the pieces and you're purchasing the machinery and you get to put it together yourself, and we have a person in the front of the class to do it. So if you're going to buy the machine anyway and you're interested in learning how to do it the right way, get in front of a person who's done 1,000, a couple thousand machine builds and build yours with the help of an instructor. That's a coolest one because you get to leave with a freaking computer at the end of the day. So those are a couple of my favorite. But again, 330-259-7278, call the number, let them know that you want to take a kind of class in our workshop, because again, it lends itself to that kind of a thing. Text message says, are you hiring anyone with Mac experience? Always. Like, we are always hiring someone. I mean, we're in a constant state of need for people that use for field services. So let me give you some things that we are hiring for, and then a little bit of aggressive things that I'd like to even do more of. So for instance, we probably get maybe 4 or 5 Mac inquiries, in a period of time. And I'll give you the types of stuff. So, software troubleshooting, not so much. We get some hardware where, the Macs tend to last a little bit longer than PCs. So you end up needing to do memory upgrades or hard drive upgrades a little bit more often than PCs. So we'll do a memory upgrade or a hard drive. Screen replacements, that's a big one. A Mac screen replacement or an iPad or an iPhone. Now, we've been sending most of our device screen replacements to broke ass, whatever that broke ass, I think that's what they're called. Anyway, they pretty much do all of our stuff, and they do a wonderful job at that. So we just turn them over to them because they've got real experience in it. But they've got also their Mac certifications. So we can do it, but we're not a certified Mac installer, where they've got all the fancy tools and the know-how and stuff like that. So I would probably do most of our stuff, just send them over to broke-ass phone. That's what they're called. Anyway, but yes, if you have Mac experience, definitely send resume, joe@youngstowncomputer.com. Send it over that way. We're always hiring field support, bench staff. We basically couple the expertise. So I'd be interested. Now, I couldn't have you working on all Mac stuff, so you'd have to be good at some other stuff as well. But we've got like 100 different enterprises in our tent. So chances are, if you've got know-how, we could definitely put talent to use. 330-729-9977. Let's go to Cindy. Cindy, you're on the Youngstown Computer Show. How can I help you?
Hi, Joe. Sorry to call back.
No, that's all right.
I had a question, and I wanted to make a comment about your son and your cell phone.
Yeah, go ahead.
And you do a fabulous job. I just want to thank you for sharing your knowledge, not just computer stuff, but business and just everything. You're a wealth of knowledge.
Thank you.
So about your son's cell phone, you should get him a cell phone, a smartphone, because when my son was in high school, they use it in their classes. He was in a Spanish class, and he didn't have a smartphone. I couldn't afford it at the time. He had like a regular, you know, text call cell phone, but he didn't have a smartphone. And he was always behind in Spanish class, and he was the only one that didn't have a smartphone.
Okay.
And you don't have to spend $500 or $1,000. You can get something on sale, $100-$200.
Okay, and what age was that when you
when
noticed?
When he was high school, you
just
know,
high
that
school?
Was 9th, 10th, 11th grade.
Okay.
But they're using the phones in the schools now, Joe.
Interesting. Okay, what else you got?
You don't want your child to be behind because it put him behind.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to say, if you offer classes, I heard you say that one week, that you're the makerspace, you're going to offer classes on how to rehab houses or flip houses and how to do repairs and things. I want to sign up for those now, but I know you don't have them now, but
well,
I think a lot of people would love to do that.
Yeah, here's the way it's going to work. We actually have a contractor that we partnered with. We're getting all of our insurances in line so that we can actually start doing this. We have an internal person going to get their real estate license so that they can do this internally. And then we're going to make a purchase of a home that we can use as our demonstration unit so that when we're teaching how to flip houses, we can not just theoretically talk about it. We will teach it from a house that's under, you know, that's being flipped and being rehabbed so we can show you what the process is like. So that's I'm going to say by the end of May, we will have all of our ducks in a row. So we could probably start getting people signed up for the June and July workshops.
Well, I'm going to sign up. I think a lot of people would just love to learn to do that. And there's a demand for that because, you know, they're not building a lot of new homes. Or, you know, there's not the supplies to do that. So we're going to have to take the homes we have and rehab them and fix them up. And there's a lot of houses that really need work, and people don't have the money to spend, but if they could do the work themselves and learn how to do that, they'd be able to support themselves, the economy would be better. I don't know. I think it's all a win-win.
Absolutely. I'm totally there with you. Call the main number, 259-7278. Leave your name and number on there, and I'll make sure I add you that list so that when we do offer those, I'll get back in touch with you and let you know that they're coming down the pike.
Now, is this a separate number from your business that you're giving me?
That's the main business number. So if you select option one, which is the commercial services, and just leave in the message that this is specifically for me and the home rehab workshop.
Okay, can you give me that number one more time? I'm sorry.
Sure. 330-259-7278.
7278. Okay.
All right,
and
cool.
How many people are you going to put in a class? I mean, are you going to do like HVAC one week? And are you going to have like part one, part two? Are you going to specify what you'll be working on that week? Like, is it going to be drywall? Is it going to be HVAC? Is it going to be...
I think there's like 24 different segments that we'll be teaching, like the securing it, like, you know, buying the house, selling the house, doing the, you know, the contracting work, the HVAC, the electrical system, the sewage. I mean, really, we're separating them in like little 2-hour segments that deal to very specific topics throughout the process.
Okay, but you're going to see it all the way through.
Absolutely, from start to finish. And we're going to do it in real time. So not only it's a theoretical talk, we're actually going to go through all of those processes with you to be able to see them in real time. So if we run across a house that's a good example for the HVAC where it's in big disrepair, we're going to use that as our example and do the HVAC in real time.
How wonderful. Okay, I'll call and leave my name and number. I hope everybody supports this because there's a real need, and the housing market is just, it's through the roof right now.
Absolutely. All right, Cindy, thank you so much. I appreciate the support, and I appreciate you being out there.
Don't forget to get your son the phone.
I will, no doubt. All right, thank you, Cindy.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Okay, so, and to let you know, here's what inspired this. And so I was going to do flipping anyway, and we were doing workshops anyway. And I started reading some articles about some of the out-of-state investors that were coming into, we'll say, like Girard, buying up properties for, like, it's really cheap here. I'm telling you, the reason so much investment money comes here is because it's really economical. You could really walk away with some properties. So there's a lot of out-of-state investment that's buying stuff here and then becoming landlords and then rent. When they own enough of the properties, they're just rents are going way up, and it's pricing a lot of people out of that deal. And the problem with that is that the real estate isn't really getting any better. It's just being extracted for its value in what it could turn over as rent. But I'm looking to do a different model where I want to pour value into that. And now I'm going to be, you know, I'm probably going to lease some of these out and rent some of these out as well. But I want to make the properties better because our neighborhoods get better when the properties get better. And if we can do some work where we're, you know, half of our enterprises have always been this, like we're wide open. Half of it are meant to help people who have, you know, made some mistakes or got themselves in a bad spot and they just need a redo. They need someone to have their back while they rebuild things. So half of our places might be people suffering with addiction and are coming off of that. Some of it might be, you know, single moms who got themselves in some financial peril. Some people might be, you know, it's struggle. It's we're going to, half of our endeavors are always going to be to help lift people out and to give them, you know, some opportunities that are not naturally presenting themselves. And then half of it's going to be the business side of things where we just got to make really big, competent business decisions, and then that funds all of the stuff, the altruistic, the things that we're going to use to help pull people out. At the same time, no matter what happens, all of the properties, whether or not they're the commercial ones where we're using it to fund or the other ones, they all have to add value to no matter what we touch. We're not going to exploit or extract or pull value out of. We're going to pour in and make neighborhoods better and houses better. And if it means that we get revenue off of it, that's great. If we get revenue off it, it means we can continue to do it and make houses and places even better. So we really do appreciate people like Cindy who support that endeavor, because you kind of know that the more people that have that heart going into it, the faster this can happen. I mean, it's one thing if the government buys big neighborhoods and you know, knocks them down and creates land banks and private investors. But okay, that's kind of transactional, right? You don't have much feeling. But when individuals who care about their communities buy things to make them better, it's not just about the business transaction of making them better. It's these people want their places to be better. That's not waiting on government entities to make changes. That's when people pull their own resources off the sidelines and change problems. And I know this is not the the business show, but I just want you to know that's where my heart and spirit is in this area. And everything you see I'm going to do means that I'm going to constantly increase value of everything that I touch. And that's a promise. So 330-729-9977. And all of those workshops, again, you're going to see us in so many different venues. If you have an idea for a workshop, pouring into you means making you smarter, right? Gets you over the hump of you don't know something and there's going to be a reason why you don't know it. And it's my hope that you'll allow me to help you get over that hump that will figure out why you haven't done it yet. And then boom, once I get you over that hump, I set you free. You go do your own thing. But sometimes it's, you know, people don't have enough money to get themselves over that hump. Some people, they don't know enough people. One of the guys I'm working with right now just doesn't know, you know, is talented coming out of his ears, but he just doesn't know the business side of things to see why he has to make these decisions. So if I can shorten anybody's learning curve and push someone along, I don't really care if it's about eBay or flipping houses. It's pretty much all the same. Everybody needs help, right? And if I have to be that common bond where I bring people together for great reasons before I let them, so be it. I'm totally willing to serve that purpose. I've done that in computers and tech and business and everything else I touch. So might as well just keep expanding it and influencing, you know, more things. So Cindy, thank you for saying that. If anybody else wants to be part of that home rehab workshop that we're putting together, no sooner than June, but no later than July is when we'll start putting those workshops together. And we'll do some of the easier ones to start off with, so I assure you. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Frank, I see you on the lines. We'll come and take your call as soon as we get back from this commercial break. If you want to call 330-729-9977, you could also text me all program long, 333-1570. You're listening to the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer, and your host, where we talk about things in tech. Frank's been waiting over that brick, so let's go right away. 330-729-9977. Frank, you're on the Youngstown Computer Show. How can I help you?
Hi, Joe. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I apologize. It's not a tech question, but your last comment there about the last comment you made really resonated with me. You know, people waiting for government agencies, government incentives to be motivated to do things, whether it's business related, whether it's personal related. You're going to wait a long time. You're not going to be satisfied by the results. It doesn't matter who is holding the levers of power. In downtown Sharon, we've got several entrepreneurs that are buying property, renovating property, revitalizing the downtown with small businesses. They're not waiting for special incentives from government that may never come. And if they do come, come with all of the bureaucratic red tape. And so I just wanted to say that comment really resonated, and I appreciate you making it. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate you saying that. And my feelings exactly. You do not need an invitation nor a permit to, you know, pour into your community. And he's absolutely right that you will leave sorely disappointed if the solution needs to come with the backing of some kind of institution that really it has a hard time deploying a soul around its decisions. And you know, your favorite libertarian here is we don't wait for other people to solve our problems. We know we have the skill and the finances and the ability to put people together to tackle big problems. And I'm so glad that I have all of you out there with me doing this support. And I really do mean it. I stay on just about every program that you, all of you, the listening audience of these shows, always come through. Like always. I know that, you know, we did the pay it forward boxes around town. So we built these little plastic sheds that we put in. You'll see one in the parking lot of Youngstown Computer. We put one out at Bridge of Hope Church. We put one out the outside of the Gate Church in North Lima. And really what they are is individuals, people can load this thing up with toiletries and things that they might have surplus. Hopefully that somebody can come along and find something that they absolutely need, right? And we started doing this, like we will put it up and then we'll put $100 worth of groceries in it for every Saturday for a couple months when it's new. And then the community just adopts it and they start filling it. There are people that go to these pay it forward boxes every freaking week and add stuff to it because they're putting things that can keep people alive and help people out at their worst moments. And that's the kind of spirit that we have in this area where we just come through. When given the opportunity to do the right thing and come through, we just do every stinking time. And I can't say that for anybody else, but my community are rock stars when it comes to coming through in a pinch. You can ask every time they do a telethon, every time they try to raise money, every big thing, we always come through. And that is an amazing spirit of living here, you know, in the Valley. So, Frank, thank you so much. And I'm glad that I got your support out there and any community that can put their citizenry together and jump ahead of, you know, waiting. I hate waiting. I am not a patient person. And so it's like, there was a pothole outside of my development, right? And every morning I saw it and I hit it all the time. And I'm like, I'm just going to get something, you know, rocks or, you know, gravel or something and fill that stupid thing. Just calling people and saying, somebody's got to do this just drives me crazy. I just don't have the, I'm a doer. Like there's a problem. I can go get some gravel, put it in there and then we're done. Right. And I was advised that that's a poor decision to do that on behalf of the road department, but still everything in me wanted to just go and fix the stupid problem instead of griping about it. But you know, again, it was a road department's deal. 330-729-9977. Let me go and do a. And I'll tell you this: if you follow me on Facebook, I've been doing a ton of stuff with 3D printing because we've got the new machines. We've got one more new 3D printer coming. We've got the Prusa Prusa 3D printer that arrived. I love it. This is my favorite machine ever. I printed a model of Nikola Tesla. It was a bust. It's probably, I don't know, 5 inches tall and a couple inches wide. It took about 2 days to print, and we're just printing in traditional PLA, nothing fancy, but just a plastic model. And so I'm playing with all of the technologies, the design software and the slicing software and all of that kind of stuff. It's really, really phenomenal. I'm really in love with this kind of stuff. And so when I'm talking about like the stuff that we're going to do at the Makerspace, what you're hearing, what I'm doing now is sort of populating what we're going to be teaching later. So if you want to be sort of ahead of what you see to come to the Makerspace, kind of follow me over on Facebook and you'll see exactly what we're getting into. But I've spoke with a guy. We just hired a new field support guy, and he has a sort of his side expertise is in 3D printing and modeling. So I'm even thinking that maybe part of the services, in addition to the Makerspace, trying to think of practical uses for 3D printing. And we'll get into that in the future sometime. But it's just getting really exciting in my world, and that's why you're hearing that come through in today's program, because I'm just really excited for us, myself, and this whole freaking area. Because as successful I get, I'm gonna pour it out into every corner of this valley. So, this is the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I am Joe Danier, owner of Youngstown Computer, host of this program, and I kind of bring these topics in this stage for us to talk about things that are happening in tech, get you all fired up and inspired, I guess. If you take what we talked about today, I'm really fired up. And it happens to be, like, when I get dug into this is like my sweet spot, where this is where I'm at my best, when I'm like, you know, problem solving and changing things. When I do commentary, I'm not quite as excited to just talk about what other things are happening. But when I get to tell a story about stuff we're doing, I mean, I'm exploding with giddiness here. I'm like a little kid. What is a good laptop to buy? And let me tell you this. I have experience with different brands that bring me as a preference to them. Okay. So if Joe were going out and buying a laptop right now, There are a couple of different brands that I would stay away from and ones that I find myself buying. So first off, I was just saying this morning that I have this, my go-to Dell. I bought this Dell laptop, I would say every bit of maybe 7 years ago. It's an i7. It can do all of my video stuff. I can run Photoshop on it. It's done everything. It's got a solid state drive. I paid maybe $1,500 back when it was new, and this thing has been awesome to me. Lately, it's been really struggling. Not that it's broken. It's just it's showing its age and it's time to be replaced. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do to replace this? So I went out on Dell's website to see if they had an analog to what worked the last time. And sure enough, they do. They actually have a one version better than what was there. So I'm totally going to get this version again, and it's probably going to cost me $1,500 then. So usually what I'm doing is I'm buying around to different brands until I find one that totally lines up with how I buy, what's important to me, what costs are important to me, what warranties are important to me, what features are important to me, what I do with it. And so I have three different laptops that I buy. One, I buy an Asus. Asus, I fell in love with the brand name a while ago, and their design, the engineering of their platforms are above average. Okay, so if I have something that I need a laptop that's going to be a pretty heavy performer, needs to be more like a desktop, but needs to perform like a desktop, I'm going with this Asus. It's a little thicker, it's a little heavier, the displays are a little bit bigger, but I can get away with doing more desktop things on it, and it doesn't feel like I'm using a laptop. I pay anywhere from probably $800 to $1,200 for this Asus, and it's got Windows 10 on it. It's got the same specs as everything else we got. It's the processor, if we're in 10th generation, the solid state drive, 256 or 512, 16 gigs of memory. It hits all of the benchmarks for what we use on the desktop side, and it just has the profile that seems to just behave a little bit more like a desktop. So we have the Dell laptop that's the thinner one that I use, in the capacity of it's more of a multimedia, has a bigger processor, can do some more of the video editing and whatever. And the Asus, I won't take it as often with me because it's bigger, it's heavier, so it's not in my backpack. My Dell's in my backpack because it's more mobile. My Asus it kind of sits more. So it's a I don't spend quite as much for it as the Dell, but it's every bit as more capable as the Dell. So if you want a desktop replacement, I'm going the Asus. If you want the you know, something that's more mobile but almost as good, it's going to be the Dell. The brands that I don't like, and I don't like whatever the Compaq and Acer brand. I just don't find. Now they, I take that back. On Acer, I will buy the Chrome notebook, the Chromebook from Acer. I think they make a pretty good design there. I haven't liked their laptops in a little while. Definitely not any of the Gateway or what's the other brand? Names are escaping me today. But anyway, those are my two go-tos. So what is a good laptop? It's completely subjective. I want you to buy only the hardware that you're going to absolutely need. In fact, I was going to share this last week's program. I got sick of putting a full-blown desktop underneath my in my office because, you know, it's almost $1,000 for a desktop. It's a great performer. But for the stuff that I end up using it, 90% of it is web stuff. I'm using the occasional Photoshop to, you know, create an image or graphic that I need. But most of it's web-based, and you don't want to throw $1,000 piece of equipment at web pages, right? You need the very least amount of the equipment. So I found this thin client, which I thought was a thin client. So thin client, so basically it's a dumb terminal that gets you to the internet, and then it works like a Chromebox where it kind of pulls most of the stuff through a browser. You don't really have much storage on it. It just knows how to open and see a keyboard and mouse and do your thing. And that's what I was thinking I was getting. And when I received it, it was $320 for the thing. For the computer. It's a little compact computer. It's no bigger than what you would get with a Firebox for your Amazon stuff, right? So it's no bigger than an Apple TV, that kind of a form factor. It's mountable right on the back of your monitor if you want to look at, you know, if you're familiar with the mounting hardware on a monitor. And $320. And then so I was prepared to put, like, for $320, it's got to not have an operating system and not have a disk. But when it came, it had Windows 10 Pro and it had an M2 hard drive in it. So I fired it up and it was ready to go for $320 with Windows 10 getting me on the internet. And it was powerful enough to run Photoshop on it. Now, not great Photoshop, but for as often as I need it, it was perfect for $320. So the normal one was $1,000 and I was able to put in something for $320 that did it. So I'm totally going to carry this brand. Now there isn't, especially on this kind of hardware, there's no margin in it, right? And so there's no benefit for me doing any kind of markup. I'll probably mark it up like 15% just to make it worth my effort, but I'm going to stock this stuff when we go to the makerspace because it's pretty awesome to have. I prefer you just buy it outright when I can think of the actual manufacturer. It's like B-Link or something like that. But this thing was amazing. I was so happy with it. Low cost, it runs traditional Windows 10, and it's performed magnificently for a window or a internet only. It has taken my priority over a Chromebox in the same capacities, because for the Chromebox you're going to pay every bit of $350, and it's going to be a limited operating system. Now I know some of you bought the Chromebooks and Chromeboxes for loved ones, and it's keeping them safe from some of the security vulnerabilities of having a full-blown operating system. And I still get that, and that's worth it too. But man, it just blew me away, and I'd not ever thought that existed in the marketplace, and that's why I'd never brought it up before. But yeah, it's I think it's called B-Link is the manufacturer, and it's under $400 for this whole box. So let me know if you like it, if you end up buying that. They are not a paid sponsor. This is just something that I stumbled on. And it's something that I'm going to stock in the office, give it a little bit of markup, and then make it available for the public to be able to buy it. That's going to be a cool thing. Like when I have this makerspace and I have the retail space, for those of you who don't know, in the retail space in front of the makerspace, going to be all stuff that you can buy from Youngstown. So we're going to have stuff on the shelf that is manufactured or assembled or has some connection to Youngstown. So when you shop my retail space, you're basically supporting all of the vendors and manufacturers and assemblers here in the Valley, because I'm going to try to sample food stuff and physical goods and crafty stuff and just all over the place. So you can come through there and just, we're going to have it new all the time, so you can come through and buy that. But I'm also going to have Joe's section. So when I come across something like the B-Link, small profile computers, I'll put a couple of them on the shelf and let you come buy the newest tech things that Joe's playing with. and all the supplies for the makerspace. So can you tell how excited I am about this crap? I mean, this is awesome to me, and I get to tell you about it. So there you go. That's my my never-ending spiel on things that Joe is doing. Let's see what else. Oh, SpaceLink or Starlink, I should say. Starlink is the I mention this regularly because I'm super excited about it. And this is a good competitor with your traditional internet. A lot of you call the program. You're in the rural areas of Ohio and Pennsylvania, and you don't have high-speed internet, so you're using satellite or cellular or something that gets pretty expensive pretty quick, and it's not reliable, and it's not very fast, and you guys are all suffering. And so I promised you I kind of keep my eye on this, and me – and my setup for the motorhome is that internet sucks around the country when you're traveling in and out. They do not give you preference or priority when you roll into an area and you're for out of state. You do not get great internet. I'll tell you, I've been on 5G setups and still struggled because I don't know. Anyway, so I ordered the Starlink satellite system. I've not received it yet because we're not in a priority area. They're still beta testing it in more rural areas. And so they send you this antenna. It retails for $1,500, but they give it to you for $500. So you have to buy the satellite dish, and then the charge is $100 a month, and you get broadband speeds. I want to say it's like 50 megabits by 20 megabits up, and latency around 25 milliseconds, which is really competitive, especially if you compare it to the satellite and the DSL and the cellular that people are paying right now, because you have data caps and that kind of stuff. So I think this is going to be a really good option for people in this area. Now, here's a concern that I didn't realize since the last time I spoke about this. They actually have a system-wide capacity that is pretty low. I want to say that their entire network can handle like 450,000 subscribers maximum, right? And when you look at the global use of this system, 450,000 is not a lot. So I think the ratio is 10 to 1, where they're allowed to sell over subscription on a capacity of 10 to 1. So they can actually have about 4.5 million subscribers on a 450,000 user capacity. That's sort of like, not everybody's going to be on the system all at one time. And then when that capacity is not connected, other people can be using it, that kind of thing. But because that's so limited, I don't know if they're going to use their pricing structure to eliminate, or some of us need to get off the system who don't, need it, in quotes, so that areas that absolutely do need it can have access to it. Because I think it's far more important to rural areas of the United States and then totally disconnected areas of Africa and any nation, any South American nation, any tropical nation, any African nation, any place, even in India, there's some places that just do not have internet at all. So I don't necessarily want something that has such potential to pull people out of technological poverty and offer them something, and then all of us who think this is really cool end up getting it and then filling an overcapacity, and it never gets to them. So that is a sort of a moral struggle that maybe once this happens, that other companies, float systems, or maybe SpaceX adds their capacity by then, and they extend the 450 to millions, and that would be cool. But I'm going to keep my eye on that leg of this. And if totally, I would prefer to give up my subscription and stay offline so somebody somewhere else has a shot way ahead of me. So and again, that's just my personal feeling, but that's an interesting little side note on that. It's still an exciting thing, and in fact, as long as capacity can handle it, when I move around and set up camp somewhere, I'm going to throw the satellite dish on the top of the RV, and sometime by the end of summer, they're going to allow me to connect to internet no matter where I'm at, and then we can do our broadcasts and do recordings and do video from wherever we're at. We'll always have a Starlink connection. As long as we're in the United States, I'm sure it's going to be available. So again, that's kind of a cool thing. See, I'm checking messages here. So if you've texted me 330-729-9977 or 333-1570, Let me give the numbers for Youngstown Computer. Rich is the manager and operator on residential services. If you need any kind of services, write this number down, 330-259-7278. Rich can do all of the bench work right now, so you can get computers repaired. You can get memory added. You can get that solid-state drive upgrade that we were constantly talking about. All of that stuff, bench work, he can get you taken care of. And we're adding a field services. So one of my favorite services on residential was where we have a person that comes out to you, and maybe 75% of all the stuff that we do could just be done at your house. We don't have to take any equipment with us. And then 25% needs to be taken back. Well, we can try to see if it could be done on site. And then if we know it's not going to be something that's going to, you know, prove to be something to be on site, we can take it back and have our bench work on it. But we have a really good system, a really proven system to be able to get it from you and get it back to you within a 72-hour clock. And that's really our goal is if you took my computer, I could probably do without it for a day. The second day is going to be challenging, but it probably needs to come back on the third day. And so that's why I've used me as my stopwatch, where if I can't do it within 3 days, then we got to make special recommendations, because most people will say, I'll just go buy a new one if it's going to be that long, because I know a new one I can have set up today. But anyway, if that's you and you need something, 330-259-7278. We are going to be doing maintenances where it's important in the spring when weather breaks to get the inside of the case blown out. Because what happens is that over the winter, the negative, the dry air creates a lot of static electricity in the air, right? And what happens with your computer is you have an intake fan that draws the air in, and then it works like a vacuum cleaner where it expels the air, but it drops some of the stuff that was in the air and it sticks to the inside of your computer. And if you're a smoker, we have tar coating all the insides and internals of your computer. So then the dust and contaminants stick to the tar, and then you basically have a fur coat on all of your electronics. Well, guess what the number one killer of electronics is? Is heat. And all of the stuff inside that computer is meant to dissipate heat by drawing off the heat into a heat sink, and then a fan blowing over the heat sink and disperse the heat. Well, if you've got a fur coat on that, well, guess what's happening? You're not dispersing any of the heat, and then you're shortening the life of it, and it's probably just gross inside of there if you're a smoker anyway. Not to pick on you smokers, but that's just the reality of how this works. So if you're a smoker, or if you haven't had it cleaned out, it might be worthwhile to have it brought down. We'll blow it out. We'll make sure the updates are done. We'll do a look over, and it's usually $100. I don't know if he can do that right now with his stuff, but if he can get that seasonal maintenance going through and bring it in for $100. I mean, it's a huge saving, because usually it's a 2-hour minimum to get something serviced. When we do the maintenance, we're trying to like give you a nudge to do the right thing by making the price about half of what it normally was, bring it in and maybe get some of those things taken care of. I'll check with him to make sure he can do the $100, but feel free, if that's what you want, call him up and see if he's be willing to take up all $100 specials for a clean out and maintenance. You're listening to the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN. I'll be back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Youngstown Computer Show. I feel like this show had my fingerprints on it, and every once in a while, like a real personal version of the show comes out, and it's real, it makes me feel good about that. I got that out there, because a lot of times you kind of lose track of why you do things. You get in the habit of doing them, and now I feel like I'm re-energized and redirected on why I really do this for a living, and what my goals and my purposes are. And I know that's pretty deep for a technology radio show, but to kind of drag that out of me during this program. So I just really appreciate it. And I really do appreciate everything that this station and everybody gives me this platform to be able to do it. I mean, we've been doing this for a number of years, and I just feel like we make a really good impact, and it's definitely worthwhile doing. So I'll do it as long as they'll allow me, and hopefully I'll bring along a lot of people into territories that maybe they would have felt vulnerable in, and give them a little confidence to be able to tackle this stuff on their own. And the advisements, the stuff that we put out there is totally intended for you to trial out on your own and push the limits and stretch yourself and make yourself a little bit stronger. We talk about everything. I mean, we talk about time travel on some of these shows. I mean, there's a level of craziness that sometimes comes out that makes it, both interesting. sometimes practical. Like, I don't know if I teach you about time travel what you're going to use that for today, right? But some of it's super practical. There's somebody out there that was going to buy a laptop, and now I've mentioned two brand names. They can actually do something with that. But you allow me to do that, and that's kind of the craziest and awesomest thing about this, that that it's both an expression platform and a way that I can help tons of people, you know, just feel better about this. I always picture, and I've always done this even in business, I always picture the person that's going to tell me to go to hell, right? The person that's going to say, hey, you want to use this smartphone? And the guy's going, rah, 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 rah. He just doesn't want to do it. That's what I'm, you know, putting this stuff together for. I want to win that guy over one day, or I someday catch him on a smartphone checking his Facebook, right? That's my challenge, to get the people who swear it off to somehow entertain it. Because I'll tell you, these tools are really awesome. And I know even half of you that are listening to this aren't using any of your electronics to their capacity. You might be playing games. It might be entertainment. You might be following social media. But these things can do so much more than what you're asking them to do. And in mine, I know how this stuff works, and I'm still not using it to its capacity. So, I mean, we have more technology in here than went to space. So you can go to the moon with half of the stuff that's in front of it. Not really. Don't go to the moon. But anyway, through our cooperation, you and I, and through all of the stuff we get into, we can bring it closer all the time. I'm bringing myself closer. So I'm not like this dude that's sitting in the back just pointing at you saying, you better go get smarter. I'm spending my Saturdays. I work my real job so I can come home and work on some of this extra stuff, learning stuff that, you know, piques my interest. So if your interest gets piqued, right? And I know some of you don't even know what that means, because you're not used to people coming and provoking you to think and dream and you know, create bigger goals. I want to know, like, start thinking about stuff. And if a dude came along and was willing to show you how to use that thing, would your gears start turning? And then you would be like, I can use this in 1,000 different places. It's exactly what happened to me when I said I had this thing. And I'm telling you, I wasn't even using it correctly, but I had this 3D printer and I squirted out some stuff on the platter. I'm like, oh, I can build stuff with this. And then it just, one thing jumped in the other, and it was so exciting. And maybe, you know, we'll put some kids classes together. We talked to Struthers, and we're going to involve maybe a business incubator with technology. We're going to help some entrepreneurs city by city, not just a Youngstown, a big one, but a little one. We want to populate all of the strip in Youngstown Pullen Road with new enterprise, you know, new businesses. We want to, like, culture it though, and teach this people before they get going, and give them a start. Anyway, I'm on fire today. This feels so good. So anyway, thank you so much for allowing me to do stuff like this. But if any of you do feel like you got something vibrating, like I got something going in you, and you want something to share with me, you know, I'd be more than happy to hear your stories and listen to it and tell a public version of it and inspire other people. So you can always email me, joe@youngstowncomputer.com. And see if we can work you in on the stuff we invest in or the stuff we talk on the show. We'll just get you involved some way. So make sure you get in touch with me and keep dreaming, guys. This is awesome. Again, thank you and have a great week. We'll see you next time. This has been the Youngstown Computer Show on 570 WKBN.